All right, we're back. There's Bruce Springsteen, and the E Street Band. Love that song, "Born to Run." And in fact, a very fitting song considering how well Albert Reed, the UVA running back, ran against the Oregon Ducks the other night. He had over 120 yards rushing, a beautiful touchdown run where he beat some tacklers, and he also had a very nice kickoff return of about 44 yards, and he is our LeClaire Ryan Player of the Week and Player of the Game. And gosh knows, if he'd been able to do that in the first game, Virginia would have won that game because I think they had a total of 38 yards rushing against the amazing Spider defense. All right, we're looking to catch up with Ahmad Hawkins. We're trying to track him down now. As it is, looking at some key stats from the game against Oregon, the Wahoos, although they had 193 yards rushing, which was significantly better than the first game, Oregon had 301 yards. So that was a plus 106 for the Ducks. Net passing, Virginia put up 195 yards passing to 331 for Oregon. So that's an aggregate advantage for the Ducks of 135 yards and overall 632 total yards to the Ducks, entirely too much offense for the Cavaliers. Oregon did that on 76 plays, although Virginia did run up, did rack up 80 offensive plays, which is a good sign for the Cavaliers. Not enough points. As a good friend of mine, Meriwether German, likes to say, we need points. All right, time of possession. Virginia had 31 minutes to 28 for Oregon, which is a positive. Virginia had 10 penalties, which I didn't like, but Oregon had 12. So maybe it was a flag-happy officiating crew. UVA did not generate any sacks, but they gave up 6 to the Ducks. And Virginia had 2 of 3 PATs. Unfortunately, the Ducks had 5 of 5. Virginia ran a fake field goal, which I did not agree with, and Mendenhall in the press conference today said that was scripted in advance, and I would say they need to shelve that idea because maybe it was a little long for Sims, but I think you got to take your chances and get points. All right, without further ado, none other than the one and only Ahmad Hawkins is with us. Ahmad, thank you for joining us on Who's Talking.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
We're doing well. Habbo is traveling on business, but I've got my good friend Darren Franta in studio with me, and we've got a bunch of questions for you. Normally, I pick your brain for offensive analysis, but tonight I want you to put on your defensive helmet and help us understand what these young cornerbacks are facing and the safeties are facing. Miles Robinson, number 14, and Juan Thornhill, number 21, they really have their work cut out for them, and the coaches, particularly Mendenhall, keep praising them, but golly gee, the receivers are wide open all the time. What have they got to do a better job on defense?
You know, they had to get back to their fundamentals, understanding their keys and pre-snap reads, where the receiver's lining up opposed to where the ball is at, and the percentages of inside routes versus outside routes, and what the overall coverage calls for. Because as a young defensive back, what they will learn is if you understand the concept of coverage and the pass rush and where the weakness is and where you can truly get beat, that's half the battle, because you will make sure that those routes won't beat you. And these guys are sophomores. They're young. They got thrown into the fire. Richmond was a team that schemed them real well. And then you have Oregon, just speed and their air raid offenses. It's simple but complex, because they have so many different route combinations that, you know, it's tough on them. They got baptized by fire these first two games, so the only way you can go is up, and I think that's why you see Bronco praising them so much, because mentally they could be very fragile right now.
Well, you know what? I think you make a great point. I think his comments maybe are directed really to help the young players keep their chins up. Mm-hmm. In the second quarter, Virginia just could not get anything going on offense. And unfortunately on defense, Oregon put together a 10-play drive, a 12-play drive, and a 9-play drive, and essentially put up 200 and some yards of offense, two touchdowns and a field goal. I think the play that probably antagonized most Virginia fans came with the 3rd and 36 situation. And for some reason, the safety left center field, and the poor cornerback is guarding a, you know, an Olympic sprinter down the field. And how could that ever happen on 3rd and 36?
That goes back to either we got to I got to get a better understanding of what the coverage was, because how it played out, it looked like they were in man to man, but I don't believe they would literally have those young men in man to man on the 3rd and 36. So it's either on the safety or on the defensive scheme. You can't put that on Thornhill because he's playing the coverage, and nobody in the state of Oregon is going to run with that kid.
I mean,
as simple as that. But alignments can take away everything. I mean, if it's 3rd and 36, I'm putting my safeties at the sticks, and they're not moving. I'm going to put three of them. I'm going to show you pre-snap that we're playing deep routes. You don't have to throw something short, and we're going to rally up and tackle. So, I mean, that's just me personally, but I would love to really dissect that one play. I haven't had the chance to do that yet.
Well, you know, it appeared that they used another receiver to go to a third of the field, and it drew the Virginia safety, and I don't remember whether it was Rainey or Blanding, but they ran to the other sideline like their house was on fire and left the middle of the field vacant, and poor Thornhill is chasing that guy down the field, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, you know, and that's unfortunate because, you know, speaking towards our safety position, we have two strong safeties playing at the same time. Rainey and Quinn Blanders are strong safeties. They're not ball-hawking free safeties that can go sideline to sideline. And it's not a knock on them. It's just their strengths are coming in the box and being aggressive. So, you know, I don't know what we can do to get somebody back there that can cover over top of these corners. But one of them is going to have to demonstrate that they can actually play center field.
You know, when you watch, and I'm going to switch back to football, I mean to offense for a second. The new quarterback, Kurt Benkert, in the game Saturday night, he clearly was making plays.
Yeah.
And other times he looked baffled, just in terms of when he was holding the football and so forth. Do you think the injury and the long recovery for Andre Lavrone, number 19, that's his new number.
Yeah.
Do you think that has handicapped him a great deal, or is it just understanding the total concept of the offense that the coaches want him to run?
Yeah, it's a luxury in camp. That's a kid who can take the top off the defense. He has elite speed. He's a bigger body guy.
Yeah.
With him having a knee injury, we don't know if his explosiveness is back.
Yep.
And you relied on that. And you can see as the game went on, Kurt started locking on to one receiver. And that's why he was holding the ball too long. It was a couple of times where he had under routes that were wide open. And he was steady looking on the hashes. So it's a thing that he's getting a better feel for the other receivers. He has a great relationship with Dowling, as you can see. Mm-hmm. They're always on the same page. He has a good rapport with Keon Johnson also. So it's just getting him in tune and learning how to manipulate the safeties with his eyes, because he hasn't really had that in-game action, even though he's very talented.
You know, I'm going to stick with offense for a second. Keon Johnson made a nice catch and battled his way into the corner of the end zone. Warren Kraft seems to show some signs of life, number 23. But, you know, the player that seems to have the real speed is Olamide Zaccheaus. They call him Oz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When you watch him, do you sort of cheer for him because he maybe reminds you of you?
Oh, definitely, man. He's a smaller size guy. He's a slash type guy. You know, they say he's a little too short for a receiver and doesn't weigh too much to play running back. But he's one thing you can't teach is speed. And when you have a guy like that in a slot, it's dangerous because you're going up against the team's third best defensive back and or linebacker or safety. He's a matchup nightmare. It's all about us, you know, drawing up plays to get him the football. And, you know, I know they want to keep things balanced, but you have to have plays that you're just going to say, okay, we're going to get Zaccheaus in the game right now. Because we see a lot of these great teams around the country, they do that. They get certain guys involved because if he catches the football, he makes plays, it does so much for us overall. Now those big receivers can be one-on-one on the outside because you have to key on 33.
We are speaking with Ahmad Hawkins, former UVA wide receiver and defensive back and all-around good guy. Ahmad, Are you still doing the pregame show for WINA?
Yes, I am. Yep.
How much fun do you have on that show, and who are some of the other voices on the mic during that show?
Antonio Rice is also a co-host. James is the guy that drives the bus.
All right, we're having a hard time with the connection here. I believe he mentioned Jay James, and then I know you mentioned Antonio Rice. Does anybody else join you guys as a rule?
Yeah, Antonio Rice, Tyrone Lewis, and
Tyrone Lewis.
And Jay James. Yeah.
All right, so that's the usual posse, right?
Yes.
All right, so going into this last game, what did your group, what did they think of this contest, and have you talked to them since the game was played?
Everybody, well, I picked us to win because I'm a home. I always pick us to win. So I picked with my heart. I didn't pick with my analytical. Everybody picked, you know, for UVA to lose. But they played better than what everybody thought, especially on offense and especially running the football. Everybody thought that was the biggest concern, and we ran the football well. So when I talked to Tyrone Lewis, they were encouraged by that. And Antonio Rice loves when we run the football. Had over 190 yards as a team, even though we gave up 300 yards, but we still gained 190.
All right, Darren has a question for you.
Hey, this is Darren. So your group there was talking about Oregon. We've got Connecticut coming up, -4. Mm-hmm. What do you think about our outlook there? What would you like to see from Kurt and the offensive side?
I definitely want to see us establish the line of scrimmage again and run the football. I think Reed is a guy that can set the table. I really want us to give him touches early because he can batter and bruise that interior defensive line and linebackers. And you also have Ellis. And then you can use Smoke as a game changer, get matchups out of the backfield, catching the football. And with UConn, they're going to be well coached. They're led by Anthony Poindexter calling the defense over there. So we understand that those guys are going to be tough. They're going to have a high football IQ, and they're going to be physical. So you got to be prepared for a physical ball game versus UConn.
You know, Ahmad, I couldn't agree more. In fact, there's four former Virginia coaches coaching at UConn. You got Bob Diaco, who, when he was in Charlottesville, he was coaching special teams. You've got Wayne Lineberg, who used to be a Virginia quarterback and a grad assistant.
Vincent, when I came in.
Yeah, Vincent Brown, and there's somebody else. Anthony Poindexter.
So, yeah, that guy.
So that guy. So, so isn't it kind of strange that Anthony Poindexter is not wearing UVA colors?
Oh yeah, it's definitely strange. It's odd. It's bittersweet because he was given a great opportunity by Coach Rocco, and you know, it's just something he had to do. I mean, you saw the writing on the wall. We didn't know what was going on with Coach London. You know, when the head coach is released, usually the whole coaching staff leaves, and they're rarely retained. You know, I know Coach Higgins was retained. That was just a phenomenal job done by him with his interview process. But it's bittersweet. You know, that's my big brother. We talk weekly. They had a heartbreaking loss last week, and so he's going to be geared up for this game because they're coming off a loss.
Ahmad, as you watch these coaches work with these players, you know full well that the best years are ahead, and the recruits that they need are out there. Mm-hmm. Besides offensive linemen, what else are positions of need, in your opinion, that need immediate attention?
Outside linebackers, true outside linebackers. We got, you know, essentially a safety playing outside linebacker, and Jordan's been the best, to me, the best overall outside linebacker because I look at pace as just a rush end.
Yep.
If you look at a 3-4 defense with the Steelers, they always had, like, Harrison. He was always rushing. That's why I look at pace. And also a defensive tackle. We're going to need to replace Wilkins.
Yeah.
The guy's a stud. You need a two-gap defensive tackle that's just tough and just a team guy because you don't get a lot of glory two-gap in this defense.
Ain't that the truth? Well,
shut the middle down.
Well, Ahmad, we're going to let you go on that one. We appreciate you joining us tonight. And as always, excellent analysis. And we wish you the best of luck with WINA and everything else that you're doing as you continue to move on. And say hi to your beautiful wife and your lovely kids.
All right. Thank you, guys. Go Hoos, and you guys stay blessed.
Thank you, Ahmad. All right, we're going to go to break. We'll come back on the other side. My friend Darren and I are going to break down the upcoming games in the ACC and also handicap the Virginia game at Connecticut, which is a 1:30 kickoff this coming Saturday. Stay with us. Final segment, Who's Talking, ahead.